Okay, let's make a start. Good morning. Thank you everybody for coming. A little bit of housekeeping before we start the shiur. There will be a few weeks where we will not have a shiur from now, for a few weeks from now. Next week is God is Rosh Hashanah. 2 weeks from now is Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur. 3 weeks from now is Chol HaMoed Sukkos. 4 weeks from now is Isru Chag. Second day Yom Tov, and there will not be a shiur that day. So 5 weeks from now, please God, which is October the 6th, Wednesday, October the 6th, there will be a shiur, and this shiur will restart. I'm sure the other shiur are starting from the beginning of that week or even earlier, but I've checked with Rabbi Shore, and we're going to have a little break for that five-week period. Yes, thank you. So a shana tova in advance. I was going to say it at the end, but certainly, please God, we should all have a good gevench jar, a year of good health and success. We have a lot to talk about today. I'd like to start with the sponsorship. The Shirim for the whole of 2021 on Zoom are kindly, anonymously sponsored in the merit of an aliyah for the neshamas of Masasiyahu ben Yisrael, Aaron ben Menachem Lev, and Eliana Bas Yaakov. As ever, grateful for that sponsorship. We have a special sponsor here for the live shir. Miriam has very kindly, Miriam Marcus, sponsored the shir in loving memory of the beloved father, Mordechai ben Yeshua Tzvi, Zichrona Livrocha, on his 57th Yortzeit, which will be Motzi Yom Kippur, the 11th of Tishrei. We certainly hope there should be an aliyah for the neshama, and we should learn good Torah in his merit. Now, it's interesting to see what I get feedback on after the shirim of the previous week. A lot of people get in touch with me about my whiskey in sherry cask shirim. Still, that seems to occupy some people's minds more than other shirim. Last week, I mentioned in the context of showering on Yom Tov that according to some poskim, you can't put your whole body under the shower. You have to put your right hand in, take your right hand out. And I made an oblique reference there to the hokey cokey, and I had a few inquiries. I won't be mavakel your time and waste your money by going into it in depth. But somebody said, why did you call it the hokey cokey when it's really called the hokey pokey? And you'll see that is actually a machlokas between the Americans and the English. The two songs evolved in parallel, and one is connected with Canadian slang, the cokey, and one is connected with an ice cream flavour, the pokey. But that is, then there were lawsuits and all sorts of things. But I, if you don't mind, will continue to call it, as an Englishman, the hokey cokey. And I had from a more philosophical, existential thinker, a question, what if the hokey cokey is what it's all about? And that's something to consider as we go through the week. But on the dancing theme, I wanted to segue into today, because I hope you've got your dancing shoes on for today, because we're going to look at some fascinating sources, which I think you'll also find enlightening. And even though it's not strictly speaking about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we will see coming into this year a number of Rosh Hashanah sources, a number of Yom Kippur sources, which will actually pave our way to the Chagim Be'ezrat Hashem. So what I want to do today is engage with the interesting question of dancing and clapping on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. It used to be when I was a lad that services in England were more restrained. Nowadays, everybody wants to, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, everyone wants to dance and sing, and it's not at all surprising to walk into a more Karlbach-focused minyan and everybody's dancing and singing on Shabbos Friday night. At the Kotel, it's Baruch Hashem, very Leibedig, there's lots of singing, dancing, Friday night at the Kotel. What's surprising is, seemingly, all of this is completely prohibited. I remember, when people used to, some halachically focused older gentlemen in the congregation used to say, stop dancing, it's Osser on Shabbos. And they're right. And the question is, what's going on here? How does that work? So let's start from the beginning, put the whole thing together, and see if we can get to a conclusion. The conclusion might depend, by the way, whether you're Hasidish or whether you're Litvish. That might depend on what you decide on this, but we'll see. And whether you're Sephardi or Ashkenazi, we'll see that coming up soon. Let's start with the Mishnah. Now, there is no hint anywhere in the Chumash or Tanakh, or even in the oral law, in the 39 Malachot of Shabbat and Yom Tov, the dancing is one of them. There's no objective per se prohibition in dancing. Why would it even be a problem, or for that matter, clapping? It comes up in a Mishnah. This is our first source. Number one, a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza, Those of you who are Daf Yomi oriented will be getting excited that Beis starts tomorrow. So here's some previews to look forward to. Number one, Kol Shechayavim Alav Mishum Shvus. So the Mishnah says there are different categories of rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Anything which is prohibited because of Shvut, Shvut literally is from the word Shabbat, Lishpot, meaning to rest, Umishum Rushut, or because of Rushut, which is something you're allowed to do, but it isn't a mitzvah in the same sense to do, Umishum Mitzvah, or anything which is obligated because of mitzvah, we'll see what that is soon in a minute, on Shabbos, Chayavim Alav B'Yom Tov, is also prohibited on Yom Tov. In case you were to think that these rabbinic laws, which we'll explain in a minute, are prohibited on Shabbat, because Shabbat is more stringent, Chayiv Kareis, Misa, whereas Yom Tov is more relaxed, no, it's not true, these are prohibited on Yom Tov as well. Now, just a word on Shavuot. Shavuot, we've talked about this before, and I brought you a footnote here as well. Shavuot means a rabbinic prohibition which is introduced on Shabbat, and we see here Yom Tov, in order to enhance the restfulness of Shabbos, and also many other situations too, as a gedder, as a fence around the Torah. A classic example, the Ramban talks about this in many situations, that usually Chazal are not allowed to make a fence around their own fence. The Torah says, Ushmatem et mishmarti, which is an imperative to the rabbis to guard my guarding, my mitzvahs, the Torah. You can put a fence around the Torah, but you can't put a fence around your own fence. Whereas we see in the case of Shavuot that is not the case. Why? Because Shavuot is a rabbinic mitzvah, but it goes to a kiyum, a fulfillment of a Torah mitzvah. Sometimes the rabbis put in place structures which in and of themselves are rabbinic, but are there to get you to a Torah mitzvah. And therefore the Ramban says, since there is a Torah mitzvah, positive mitzvah of Shabbaton, it's not good enough on Shabbos and Yom Tov just to refrain from Malacha. You have to actually make it Shabbos dik as well. So these Shavuot prohibitions are there to make Shabbos Shabbos dik. And in that sense, they're more than just a drabonon, because they're there to be Mekayim Doraisa. Well, there are other examples of this as well, which we saw in Bein Adam L'Chaveru, all the rabbinic mitzvahs of Chesed. Going to a shiva, going to a wedding, going to a funeral, visiting the sick, are rabbinic obligations. But they're there to get you to a Torah kiyum of the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So it's quite a well-known system. And therefore, Shvut is that kind of rabbinic gezerah which is designed to help you rest on Shabbos. Rashut and mitzvah are comparative to each other, meaning, we'll see soon, a list of things which are bona fide a mitzvah, and other things which are rashut, which are less of a mitzvah, but still somewhat of a mitzvah. Let's have a look at the list. First line, Ve'eileh mishum shvut. These are the things which are prohibited because of shvut. Lo oilim be'ilan. You may not climb a tree on Shabbos. Why? Because you might come and tear off a branch. That's something on purpose, because you want the branch or whatever. That would be a Torah mitzvah, so drabon, you can't climb a tree. But lo roishvin agave behemi. You may not ride on an animal, again, in case the animal's not moving, you're sitting by a tree, you pull off a branch and you smack the animal, saying, come on, let's go. That's also prohibited, drabon. But lo shatin apnei amayim, and you can't go swimming in the sea, in case you come to make some kind of a life raft, you're getting into a bit of trouble, you break a few bits of wood and you swim with it. You can't do that. And here's our key, now we'll see in a minute exactly what they are, different kinds of clapping and slapping and dancing, etc. You can't do any of these things. They're shvut. The following things are the list of rashut, which means that they're quasi mitzvahs, but not as much as the last list. Loi dadin, you can't sit down and make a beis din ruling. Loi makadshim, you can't marry, man and woman cannot marry on Shabbos. Loi cholzin, you can't do chalitza in a yibum situation. Loi mayadnim, you can't cement a yibum relationship. All of those are because people would write down that you just got married, you just did yibum, you just did chalitza, and we worrisome will write things down on Shabbos. The Elohim Mishum Mitzvah, and the last list are bona fide, full-fledged mitzvahs, loy makdishin, you may not dedicate an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, loy ma'arichin, you may not give your value, erchin is a way that you could say, I pledge the value of that man over there to the Beis HaMikdash, you can't do that on Shabbos, loy machrimin, you can't give to cheirim, again to the Mikdash or to the Kohanim, loy magbim truma amasa, that last one is the most practical one for us, you can't take trumas and maisras on Shabbos. If you forgot to take Trumas and Maishas on Shabbos, and it's already Shabbos, you're a bit stuck, there's nothing you can do. Kol Elu B'Yom Tov Amru. These, all of these are on Yom Tov as well. Kal V'Chomer B'Shabbos, all the Mosa on Shabbos, or Mosa on Shabbos. Because why? Ein Ben Yom Tov L'Shabbos Ela Oichel Nefesh Bilvad. And that brings us back to last week's shir. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is on Yom Tov you're allowed to do certain things for Oichel Nefesh. Ochel nefesh we saw last week was not just eating, but personal needs. But these things that I've just elaborated here, including clapping, dancing, etc., are not for ochel nefesh, and therefore they apply on Yom Tov just as much as on Shabbos. So what are these things? Let's have a look. Source number two. Says Rashi, in Beitza, Ein metapchin mishum shir. Now metapchin is very clearly from the, we'll see next, metapchin, he says, yadav zo lazo. Okay, because of the word tefach, okay, you can't clap on Shabbos, says Yom Tov, Mishum Shir, we'll see in a minute, because you might come to make some kind of, or to fix some kind of a musical instrument, we'll see what that means, or Mishum Evil, and this is an angle which I'm not going to pursue today, or Mishum Evil, what is this? So there's a concern that some people might clap in grief, or smack their thighs in grief. I'll show you what this, how this connects in a minute. And then somebody might try to calm them down and might start singing, make some kind of a musical instrument, even in Avelis, to stop them from getting overwrought with grief. That's another angle as well. So metapchin, we said, yadav zolazol. Mesapkin is kaf al hayerach, is the hands on the thighs, slapping your thighs. And meraktin, says Rashi, is beregel, with your feet. The kulam nesru mishum shvus, and they're all part of this list of shvus. Why? Gezeira shema yitakin kli shir. May you will come, someone might come to fix a musical instrument. So what's going on here? Really, someone starts clapping. I always had this image when I was younger. All of a sudden, you know, you're clapping and Mr. Stradivarius is sitting there in the audience. And all of a sudden he'll say, oh, I've got to go and make a violin. That's not going to happen. You can't make a clear shear so quickly. You could make a kind of makeshift, like drum or something like that. But also, and I think more to the point, Yitak and clear shear, there's a Rashi in Erevin that talks about tuning a musical instrument. Don't forget, if you've got a guitar, or in those days a lyre, or whatever it is, or even a drum, if it's not in tune, it's not usable. If your strings are not tuned to the right, I'm a violinist back in the day, so your strings have to be G, D, A, and E, and if they're off even a little bit, the instrument's unusable. So tuning the instrument is itself a Torah prohibition. Why? Because that's tikkun kli. You had something which was not usable, an out-of-tune instrument. Now you did the little thing, and that's now a usable instrument. So it's quite understandable in that sense that someone may grab an instrument, tune it up, and all of a sudden they've broken a Torah mitzvah. Therefore, Chazal said no clapping, no dancing, and no thigh slapping on Shabbos. Let's talk a little bit about the issue of slapping your thighs. I don't know if you're into this at all. I must confess that that's not part of my heritage. But it is in the Tanakh. It talks about this issue of people smacking their thighs in distress. I brought you in Yirmiyahu, Sapakti al Yarech. I brought you in Yecheskel. These were signs of grief. At the bottom of page one there in the footnotes, signs of distress. And don't forget, I suspect it's linked with the idea that the Torah prohibits self-mutilation in grief. There are a number of psukim, I brought them in the note, mitzvahs that say a person can't cut themselves, which was a common ancient custom to cut themselves, bleed in grief. So the outlaw which is permitted is smacking the hands and slapping the thighs in grief and distress. Who was the person who smacked their hands in distress in Chumash? Balak, I should say. Balak, when Bilam kept on blessing the Jewish people, so it says Balak smacked his hands in frustration, in distress. So there you see it in the Chumash as well. Now, I think, and this is a very important point that we'll come back to later, if you're into German folk dancing and you have a pair of lederhosen back home that every now and then you like to slip on and go out to do the Schuhplattler, so you'll know that the Germans and the Austrians and the Swiss are very into their extremely formulaic dancing. They're smacking their feet and they're smacking their thighs and they smack each other's hands. And you'll see it's incredibly rhythmic. You can go and, if you've nothing else to do, you can Google it and YouTube it and watch these nice Swiss people doing all this stuff when they've got nothing else to do. And therefore, there is a kind of dancing in which clapping your hands and slapping your thighs is fundamental. Why am I going into that? Because we'll see soon, the Aruch HaShulchan says that everything is mutter today. Why? Because whatever we're doing, it's not called dancing. It's called schlepping around the room. Dancing is like dancing. That's real dancing. But what we do is like Nebuch. And therefore he'll say that's why we have a heter to do all these things today. We'll get to that very shortly. So that's just a point which I think is very important. Now you might raise a question already. Isn't there a mission at the end of Tanis that says the happiest days in the Jewish year were Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, is our first Yom Kippur mention, when the women of Yerushalayim would go and dance around the Kramim. Oh, it's Yom Kippur, how can they dance? It's Asa. So there are a few answers to this question. It doesn't say explicitly they were dancing. It doesn't say mecholot, it says cholot, which some Mephoroshim want to say they were holding hands in a circle. Okay, maybe. Others suggest that this was before the Gezerah. That's probably the most correct answer, before the Mishnah, which made this Gezerah. This was a very ancient minhag before they made this rabbinic prohibition. But there are other ways that maybe it was an exception. Maybe it was only on Tu B'Av. I'm not getting into that now. Fine. So now we know what the problem is. You might come and tune up an instrument. That's a real concern. People are not allowed to dance, etc. How do you define dancing? Now, the Bavli doesn't attempt a definition of dancing, but the Yerushalmi does. Over the page to page 3. Lama Raktim, on this sugi the Yerushalmi says, Reb Yirmiyav Reb Ze'ira, B'Shem Rav Chuna. So here you have a statement of Rav Chuna. Kiputz, jumping, kofetz, yeah, is oikesh shtei raglav ka'achas, is where you jump with your two legs off the floor together. That's called jumping. That's not called dancing. Rikud, dancing, is oike achas, is when you have one foot up, umaniach achas, and the other foot down. You have a halachic definition of dancing. So that's what I said at the beginning. It's the segue. Okay, so fine. So let's just think about this. So Rabbi Henkin, in one of his tshuvas, says, look, is this trying to define for all time dancing? The dancing is dafki when you have one foot on the floor and one foot off the floor. That's dancing. So first of all, he says there are gusars that don't say you have to have one foot down. It's just dancing is what you do with one of your feet. And Rav Henkin says this is not defining dancing, meaning people at weddings now, yeshiva guys especially, jump up and down vertically. This is a noyazach as far as I'm concerned. When I was young, dancing was only a horizontal activity, and now dancing seems to be a vertical activity. You're going to tell me that's not dancing? No, that's dancing today. The other way around, if you want to dance the twist, any of you who are still lithe enough to get up and dance the twist, where no feet leave the floor at all, you're going to tell me, oh, no, according to the Shalmi, the twist is not dancing. Oh, leave me alone. Of course it's dancing. It's not defining dancing. It's saying that there's jumping and there's dancing, and what's bona fide called dancing is dancing, and therefore I'm sure that the vertical jumping and all that other stuff is definitely dancing. However, you mentioned the yeshivish shuffle. Rav Avadya Yosef explicitly addresses that. Number 4. Mikol makam nira. It seems to me, nevertheless, shehalicha b'mechol saviv im shiris b'tishbachos, what you might call the geriatric shuffle around the outside of the wedding, where everybody walks around like this, ein ze b'chlal rikud she'ofer chazal. That's for sure not dancing. That is geriatric shuffling, which is very nice. But the harizem of Orbi Yerushalmi, because it says clearly in the Yerushalmi, she'a rikud she'asru chazal, hu ba'ofen she'oike ragel achas u'maniach achas. So shuffling in a circle is not dancing, therefore that's muta on Shabbos for sure, and yontzer. The halachic definition, and I always suspected as much, but until I found that source, I didn't know it for sure, and there are others that say the same thing as well, which I brought in the footnote. Fine. Says the Gemara, let's get into something more longish here. The Gemara picks this up in Beit Sadaf Lamed and says the following. Number 5. Amalei Rava bar Rav Chanin la Abaya. So Rava bar Rav Chanin rather says to Abaya, so now listen. It says in the Mishnah, Ein matapkin ba ein masapkin ba ein maraktin. You're not allowed to do any of this stuff. V'ha idna. But these days, interestingly, in Bavel, in the 4th century, the kachazin and the madhachi, everybody dances on Shabbos. It's interesting. Even at the time of the Amoraim, people weren't makabel this in the same way. They dance on Shabbos. V'lai amrina lehu v'lai midi. And no one says a thing. Meaning, okay, there are people that don't keep halacha. I get that. But none of the rabbis ever said anything to them. You would have thought if this was wrong, the rabbis would say, hey guys, stop dancing. It's Shabbos. What's going on? So he responded, Abaye said, Amalei, a very important statement which connects, we'll see with Yom Kippur, Hanach lehem li Yisrael, leave the Jewish people alone, mutav shiyu shoygigim va'al yu mezidim. Very important line, which is, Enachinam, you're right, it's asa, it's prohibited, they're all breaking halacha. But if you tell them, they won't listen, and they'll just do it now on purpose. So better they should break halacha b'shogeg unintentionally, they didn't realize it was wrong, than just ignore what you tell them and break it all b'meisid. Says the Gemara, v'hani mili b'drabono. Okay, that, I get that with the rabbinic law. Aval b'doraisa loy, surely not with the Torah. If people were breaking a Torah law, would you really say, okay, leave them alone, they won't listen? Surely you have to rebuke them. The law, he says, no, it's not true. You don't even have to rebuke them on a Torah law. Loi shana b'daraisa v'loi shana b'drabonon. It doesn't matter whether it's a Torah or a rabbinic law. Loi amrina lehu v'loi bidi. You do not have to say anything. Dehat tosefet yom kippurim. And here's Yom Kippur. Because tosefet yom kippur, which is to add on a little bit of the fast day from the 10th of Tishrei back into the 9th. Because if you remember in the Chumash, it says mitishi tishi lechodesh on the 9th of the month. And Chazal asked in Maseches Yuma, you don't fast on the 9th, you fast on the 10th. Why does it say the 9th? Because there's a mitzvah on a Torah level. There's one of the 613. Actually, it's not one of the 613. It's not counted in one of the 613, but it is a Torah mitzvah to add on to the 9th and to the 11th a little bit as well. And we see that with Tosef Yom Kippur, Doraisahu, that's a Torah mitzvah. Okay, and people eat right until Yom Kippur. There are people who ignore this. They're not eating on Yom Kippur, but they're not adding on to the 9th. And no one ever rebukes them. So you see, even with a Torah law, or at least some Torah laws, you do not have to rebuke people either. One thing is for sure with dancing, which is for sure a rabbinic law, the Gemara is saying it's prohibited, but there's no point trying to stop people because they won't listen. Better they should do it b'shogeg. Yes, sir. Oh, with the Eruv, right.
The Eruv. They come to shul with their...
They don't tell them, because anyway they'll come... Interesting.
They don't tell them, because they come to shul, you do announce that.
Right.
The Eruv is down. Yeah.
Right, everyone's stuck in shul.
What are we
right, and they're going to take them home anyway, and then an interesting application. The Shulchan Aruch, actually, Paskens this way, this is not to do with dancing specifically, but I thought I'd bring it, because it's an important halacha. Number six, Nashim, this was particularly for women. When it says women, usually, women is in halacha means people who have had less education. It's just a matzias. The women didn't tend to be literate, they didn't tend to be as educated, they couldn't look things up in Shulchan Aruch, whatever. So women who eat until Yom Kippur comes in, but not on Yom Kippur. They just don't know. They don't know that you have a mitzvah to stop eating already earlier on Erev Yom Kippur. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you do not have to rebuke them. Because if you rebuke them, they'll ignore you. And they'll say, go away, you're being frum. And they'll end up breaking this Torah mitzvah. Says the Ramah. With anything we always say, better they should do it by accident or on purpose. And he brings an interesting caveat. It's only a Torah mitzvah which is not explicit. It doesn't say anywhere explicitly in the Torah, thou shalt start the fast early on the 9th of Tishrei. So they don't know, so then you don't have to rebuke them. Even if it's a Torah mitzvah. Somebody's eating a piece of pork. So everybody should know that a piece of pork is also, it's explicit, it's black and white, and therefore there he says you have to rebuke the mochim b'yadam, even if you feel they're not going to listen. Ve'im yodeh she'ein dvarav nishmaim, if you realize that they're really not going to listen, lo yama b'rabin lahoichichim rak pam achas, in public you should just say it once, because there's no point, you know, being the person that the whole public ignores. Ava lo yirbe b'tochachas ma'achas yodeh shehu shelo yishmu alav. You know, you shouldn't say too many times in public if you know you're not going to be listened to. Aval b'yachid, but in private, chayev lahoychicho ad sheyikenu o yikalalenu. You have to give them rebuke until they hit you or they curse you. Meaning, you have to keep on going. Now, I'm not getting into this now. The mitzvah tochach is complex. You can only do it if they understand you're doing it out of love, not out of anger. I'm not getting into it all now. But what comes out of this is as follows. For sure, dancing, there's no point saying anything to people. They won't listen, and it's a rabbinic mitzvah. But even for a Torah mitzvah, which is not mefurash, an example might be, for example, Shmirat Negiah, Shomer Negiah, is a Torah mitzvah, according to the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, but isn't explicitly in the Torah that this is talking about Shomer Negiah. Maybe you're better off saying, look, if they're not going to listen, maybe I don't need to say anything because they're not going to listen, they're going to do it on purpose. But for other things, maybe yes. I'm not paskining on those halachas, but this is the application here. Okay, so what are we going to do about dancing? Dancing is a rabbinic prohibition. The Gemara clearly says it applies. Yes. Get there. We'll get there in a minute. Okay, fine. So the Gemara is clear. Nobody says dancing is okay. All they say is, don't bother rebuking people because they won't listen to you. Let's look at the Rishonim. The Sfaradi Rishonim go down the line, no surprises. The Rif says at number 7. Tznan, he quotes the Mishnah. The Rif is in Yitzchak Alfasi. He's in Fez, that's why he's called Alfasi, in Morocco in the 11th century. So Tznan, Ein Masapkin, Ein Matapkin, Ein Maragdin, Vahidna, he quotes the Gemara, these days, the Kechazina, the Ka'avdi, Loi, Veloi, Amrina, Lehu, Veloi, Midi, now that no one rebukes them, Amalei, so the Abaya said, Hanach Lehem Yisrael, Mutu Shiyu Shogun, Vial Meu Mizidin. Fine, exactly what the Gemara says, dancing is prohibited, but don't waste your breath, no one's going to listen. The Hani Mili, he adds in here, but this only applies, Bemili, the Yadina, Bevadai, the Loi, Makabli, Minam, whether we know that they won't listen. We didn't see this in the Gemara. If we don't know whether they'll listen or not, then you always have to try. And it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah as well. There's a famous Gemara about the Tzadikim of Yerushalayim that didn't rebuke the Rashaim at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, and they're all included in the same punishments. And the Tzadikim goes to Shemayim, and the Malachim say, well, they wouldn't have listened. No one would have listened to them. Why are you punishing the tzaddikim? There's nothing they could have done. So the answer there is, well, they didn't know that. They didn't know if people would listen. So says the Rif, if you don't know if people will listen or not. But everyone agrees, he says, that dancing is prohibited. The Rambam is not even melamed zchus on the Jewish people that they are shogeg. Look in number 8. Ein masapkin v'loy meragdin v'ein matapkin b'shabbos. You can't do any of these things. Sounds for him, by the way, that masapkim is clapping and matapkim is the thigh slapping, but not for now. Gezer Hashem yitakin klisheh, maybe you'll come to tune up an instrument. Ulasapik kalachayad, it gives you a heter. But for clapping in an unusual way, you see people doing this on Shabbos, okay? That's mutter. That's where this comes from. The Rambam doesn't even say, better not to tell people if they won't listen to you. He just says, it's awesome, you know, finished. Do you want the air conditioning on, by the way? Do you want a bit more? Some people look a bit warm. Are you warm? Someone wants to go and be a shalich mitzvah and ask them to put a bit more AC on. Fine. So no surprises in the Rishonim, in the Sfaradim. It's awesome. The Ashkenazim, when you look at the classics, the Rosh, the Tur, I didn't bring them on the sheet. Same thing. So you think, okay. So there's no, there's nothing to talk about. The Gemara says it's awesome. The Rishonim say it's awesome. It's awesome. Then Tosfos, and this is where I want to bring broaden the shear. Tosfos drops a bombshell. Tosfos says in number 9, Tosfos is a group of people, obviously in the 12th and 13th centuries. They say as follows: Tznan, ein matapkin ve'ein merakdim. So they bring the Mishnah down. Perush Rashi. Rashi explains, says Tosfos, number 9, shemi attacking klisheh, because someone might make a musical instrument or tune it or whatever. Umiu l'digan shari, but for us everything is fine. We can dance and clap and everything, no problem. Why? Why is it okay now? The daf kibiyamehim shahayu bakim lasos cliche shayach lemigzah. Because back in those days, people knew what they were doing. People knew how to fix, how to tune musical instruments. Avalididan, but in our communities, ain anu bakim lasos cliche. We don't know how to do this anymore. Nobody does this anymore. The loy shayach lemigzah, and therefore this gezerah doesn't apply to us. There's no point having a gezerah if the whole reason for the gezerah has fallen away. Maybe back in those days, maybe in the Sephardi lands, who knows, in Morocco, they know how to whip out a drum and tune it up. But up in northern France, he says, we're clueless about this. No one understands this, and therefore this halacha just doesn't apply. Now, this is a very radical statement. aren't we always led to believe that if a halacha is a halacha, even if you don't think it applies in your case or in your community's case, it doesn't just, you know, fall away? Says Tosfos, no, it does. In this case it does. What's going on? And there are a number of reasons why this position of Tosfos is controversial and problematic. Let's look at them right now. Look at number 10. Does the halacha change when the factual realities change? Look at number 10. There's an explicit Mishnah in Eduyot. Why does the Mishnah bring minority opinions? Well, we know the rule is you follow the majority. It's a pasuk. Achrei rabim lahatot in Mishpatim. So why would you even include minority opinions in the Mishnah at all? Because she'imriya based in imyira based in a divrei hayochid. Because if a later bet din, a later Sanhedrin or a later bet din decides to follow this minority opinion, the yismoch alav, they can rely on it because it's there. Why do they need it to be there? She'ein based in yochel levatel divrei based in chavero ad she'yagodl mimendu b'chochmo minyan. Very important statement. Because we know, says the Mishnah, a later bet din can never override an earlier bet din, even Sanhedrins, unless they're greater in chochma, meaning they've got, you know, brighter people, a higher level of erudition, and minyan. Minyan doesn't mean the number of judges, because the number of judges on a bet din is always fixed. It's 3, or it's 21, or it's 70, etc. 23, excuse me, or it's 70. Here it means, we'll see in the Rambam, the number of people in the community who support the rulings of this bet din. But one thing's for sure, says the Mishnah, a later bet din cannot just scrap an earlier halacha, unless they're greater in number and chokhmah. And therefore we need to include within the Mishnah minority opinions so that you know they're there, they were put there by the earlier Sanhedrin, so you don't have to be worried about relying on them, because they're there already. So how can Tosfos just turn around and say, well, you know, it doesn't apply to us today? What's more, and here's a Gemara in Beitza about Rosh Hashanah. Number 11. Itzma, it stated the following. Shnei yamin tovim shel Rosh Hashanah. Ah, here we have a famous case. An egg is born on Rosh Hashanah. If anyone's again into Daf Yomi, you better get yourselves in the mood. Here is a preview. Noel de bazeh, asara bazeh. So says the statement here in the Gemara. If it's born, if an egg is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's still also to eat on second day of Rosh Hashanah. Why would an egg born on any Shabbos or Yom Tov be prohibited? Because it's noilad. Noilad means it didn't exist before, it's now come into being, maybe it's a kind of muksa, maybe it's something else. So I'm a rabbi, okay, fine. It used to be the case that Rosh Hashanah was one long day. Why was Rosh Hashanah one long 48-hour day? Because there's a whole story in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. They were waiting to see if the first day Rosh Hashanah would be Rosh Chodesh. Because don't forget, unlike every other Chag, Pesach, certainly Shavuos, which is weeks later, Sukkot, on Rosh Hashanah, you don't know yet whether it's Rosh Hashanah. Even from the beginning of the day, nobody knows. So they were waiting for the Edim to come. In the end, nobody came. And they decided, okay, no one's going to come now, it's too late. We'll say tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. And then Edim came at the last minute to say today was Rosh Hashanah. And they messed everything up in the Beis HaMikdash, everyone got upset. They said that it was the wrong day, so they said, you know something? 2 days, that's it. We keep, if Edim don't come, we're going to keep the whole thing as a two-day Yom Tov. And that's why, or one of the reasons why, Rosh Hashanah is 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so an egg was laid on the first day, it's still also the whole time. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, number 11 at the first line, Mitzakanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'elech beitzimut heres. Now, from the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, this halacha can change. Why? It's not. Mishichar of Beis HaMikdash, Heki Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shu Mekabel Midas HaChodesh Kol Hayom. Because once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the whole reason for the original one long day decree has gone away. There's no more Edim coming. There's no more Kiddush HaChodesh by the Sanhedrin. So the whole reason fell away. Therefore, now you can eat the egg, second day Yom Tov. It's really 2 days again, like a regular 2 day Yom Tov in Chol. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yosef says no. Af mitzakanas Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai ve'elech beitz asur. Even after the Churban, even after Rabbi Yochanan came along and said, well, the reason doesn't really apply, it's still also the whole time. My timer, important line, underlined and in bold, Havidavashe b'minyan. It's something we made in a minyan. Minyan here doesn't mean 10 Jewish men. It means a quorum. It was made by a quorum of the Sanhedrin. V'kol davashe b'minyan, tsarech minyan acher lahatiru. And anything which was made in a quorum needs another quorum to overrule it. You can't just have one rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, say, you know something, guys, it doesn't really apply anymore. You can't have Tosafists coming along saying, well, this doesn't apply to us. You need to be a minion. You need to be a Sanhedrin to overrule a previous Sanhedrin. And even then, maybe you need to be greater in number and chokhmah, etc. Amar Rav Yosef, Minaha, Minala, how do I know from the Torah that you can't just override something until the same authority says to do it? Dichsiv, Lech emo lehem, shuvu lehem, leo lehem. After Har Sinai, where the people had been told not to go up the mountain because the Torah was about to be given, so God explicitly tells them through Moshe, now you can go home. Well, of course. I mean, I was only restricted because it was Matan Torah. Now Matan Torah is finished. Surely I would know. No, you need a heter. You need to be told to go home. Brings another posik. Bimshocha yovel hema yalu bahar. The Gemara talks about why you need two pesukim. The point here, though, is even if the reason for the decree goes away, look in Rashi number 12, a davashe b'minyan is binding. He gives the example here. Beit Sazosh Neseres B'Kibbutz Chachamim. The rabbis in quorum prohibited this egg on second day Yontif. Shenimnu V'Gamru La'asosh Shnei Yamin Kedusha Achas, because they made the whole day 48 hours one day. Sarich Minyan Acher, number 12. Shimanu L'cha V'Yitziruhu, that you have to appoint another quorum to release it. The Kal Dava Haneseh B'Minyan Sarich Minyan Acher L'Hatira. V'Afilu Ire Dava She'ata Yochel L'Hoyros Bo Heta. And even if something comes along in your community that you can say, no, not relevant anymore. For Loma, you might say, Eitakanas Minyan Harishan or Medit Kihacha. That this doesn't apply in my case. Too bad. Afilu Hachi Osa Adri Tiru Beferish Bekibbutz Chachamim. If it was made in a quorum, it can only be released by a quorum, and you cannot rationalize that it's okay now. That's a very important statement. Because you might have thought that, okay, with a Torah mitzvah, we never know the reasons for the mitzvahs, right? There are deeper and deeper and deeper layers. There are mystical layers. God gave the Torah, and therefore God, as an infinite being, gives a Torah which has infinite depth. So even if you speculate, like many of the, you know, Moni HaMitzvot do, like the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam, maybe this is because of this, maybe that is because of this, maybe this is because of, you know, Shechita is because it's less painful. Maybe, could be, but at the end of the day, we don't know, and therefore the reasons for the mitzvot never qualify the Torah mitzvot. There are debates in the Tanaim, is that always the case? I put in the footnote. But with rabbinic mitzvot, you might turn around and say, well, look, the rabbis were people. They have depth, enormous depth, but they don't have infinite depth. Not like God, and therefore if it's absolutely clear to me that the reason has ceased to apply, why should this mitzvah apply, says Rashi, based on the Gemara, the Mishneh Leduyot? No, even if the reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah still applies. And this is passing by almost all of the Rishonim. Look at number 13, classic, very important, Rambam. Beit Din Shegazru Gezerah or Tiknu Takana Benhigu Minag. A Beit Din that makes any kind of rabbinic legislation. Different types of rabbinic legislation. The Pasha Tadava B'chol Yisrael, the Jewish people accept it. That's very important, because if the Jewish people don't accept it, it doesn't have full force. The Amad Achareim based in Acher, and a later based in comes along. Ubikesh Levatal Devarim Harishonim, and they wish to override the earlier ones. Ulaaka Oisa Atakana Oisa Gzeira Oisa Minak. Einu Yochel Adshia Godel Mina Rishonim Bechochmo Minion. He just he rules like the Mishnah. The later based in has to be greater in Chochma and Minion. Haya Godel Bechochma Avaloi Beminion Beminion Aloi Bechochma. If it's only greater in one of these aspects, Einu Yochel Levatal Is Devarav. He can't overrule it. And then he says explicit, in case you didn't get this, Afilu batal hatam, even if the reason has ceased to have effect, Shebiglaloi gazar arushenim, that the reason that they made the original rabbinic law, or Heitkina, or the Takana, Ein achroinim yochlim levatal ad shiyu gedolim mehem. Doesn't matter if the reason falls away. And then he says after that, and if it's a gezerah as a fence around the Torah, then even if the later Sanhedrin is even greater, it still can't overrule it. There's no messing around here. There's nothing you can do. So that is a position of the Rambam, of many Rishonim. But there's a kind of chink in the armor. The Riva jumps in and says, well, hang on. Really? I mean, what if the reason is so obvious? And he gives the example of Itur Shvakim. What's going on here? Itur Shvaki Yerushalayim. They made a gezerah that when people were bringing the Bikurim, the first fruits, that all the streets of Yerushalayim had to be beautifully decorated as a simcha when people would see as they came. Farmers came from all over the country. They said, oh, beautiful, look how they welcome us to do a mitzvah, etc. So says the Ravid, but obviously once the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, you're still going to decorate the streets of Yerushalayim? That's ridiculous. There's no Bikurim. It's Avelis now. So there must be a point at which the reason is so obvious that it does fall away. So where is that? So Tosfos are well known for taking a position like they did with dancing, that if they feel that the reason that they made the gezeirah originally was a chashash, they were concerned about a specific thing. Chashash means a concern. Then if that goes away, then the mitzvah also falls away. And they're quite controversial in the way they say this. Let me give you three or four other examples. Dancing we already saw. They only made the gezeirah because people might make or tune instruments. We don't do this today. Which, by the way, is interesting. Really, no one tuned instruments in France in the 12th century, 13th century. It's hard to understand exactly, the mitziyut there. But he gives a couple of other examples. For example, can you bury on second day Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, yes, you can. Jews, even, can bury on second day Yom Tov in Chul because of Kovet HaMeis. Says the Gemara, though, v'ha'idna, but nowadays in the time of the Gemara, de'ika chavrai chashinam. There are these chavrai. And therefore, we're not able to do this anymore. We're worried what they might say. Who are these chavrai? So I looked into this a little bit. So at a certain point in Babylonian Jewish history, the relatively lenient Parthians were overridden by the Sasanians. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that exactly right. And the Sasanians were much more down on the Jews, and they had more regulations to prevent Jewish practice. And they appointed a whole group of Zoroastrian priests called the Chavrai, to oppress the Jews. And the Chavrai made the Jews work for them, but they let them off on Yom Tov. I don't know about Shabbos, but they let them off on Yom Tov. So the rabbis were worried, well, if they see we're already burying on second day Yom Tov, they'll say, okay, we won't let them off on Yom Tov either. They obviously don't care about the Yom Tov. So they cancelled that heter. So you know what Tosfos is going to say. Look at number 15. Perush Rashi. Shekoifin l'Yisrael asos malacha. These people forced the Jews to do work. But on Yom Tov they gave them a day off. If they saw the Jews burying on second day Yom Tov, they'd make them work on Yom Tov as well. Says Tosfos. The hashka bizman hazeh ein chavrai muta. Nowadays we don't have any of these Zoroastrians walking around France and medieval Germany. It's all historic. And therefore, of course, we can bury on second day Yom Tov. And he says why. And before you jump on my head and say, you can't do that. If it was made with a minyan, with a quorum, you need another quorum to unmake it. Don't tell me that. Since it's absolutely clear that the only reason was a concern, very specific. The avra hachashasha, since the concern has gone away, avar hatam, the reason has gone away. The hachinami amrinim gabi maim magulim, and he gives another example of maim magulim. Da asurin shema nachashata mehem. This is another position of Tosfos, which I brought you in 16 as well. Back in the day in the Gemara, it says, if you leave water, wine, or milk uncovered, even during the day, for a short amount of time, you go out, you come back 15 minutes later, you cannot drink it. You must throw it in the garbage, throw it down the sink. Why? Snakes? Snakes may have come, they're all over the place, gone and drunk from some of the liquid, and deposited venom in the liquid, and it's dangerous, it's a chashash. Says Tosfos, okay, we don't have snakes now. Whatever the snakes they were talking about in Bavel, back in the day, we don't have those snakes anymore. Therefore, there is no prohibition at all of mine magulim. We can drink all this stuff. It was made by a quorum. Good. It was made for such a specific concern that the concern's gone away. Unlike, let's say, muksa. Muksa was made by the rabbis for many, many reasons. So that people will rest on Shabbos, so that people won't come to do malacha, so that the unemployed people will have a difference between the rest of their week. And there are all sorts of reasons for muksa. That doesn't go away. But this is you can pinpoint the reason. So here with the instruments, with this burying on second day Yom Tov, my magulim, which by the way, the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosfos, that my magulim today is mutter. If you leave it overnight, maybe there's other issues of ruach ra, not getting into that now. But halachically, if you leave a jug of water, you walk out for 15 minutes and you walk back, you can drink the water. And the Vilna Gaon was machmi, but the Shulchan Aruch is not. Yes? Overnight is a different thing. Overnight is because of ruach ra, all sorts of more mystical ideas. That's a different thing.
So
yes. Yes,
that
correct.
That
yes.
Anybody bury on the second day of
life? Not anymore. They used to do until relatively recently. Right.
The second day Yom Tov, you can have a quorum.
Right. Right. Right, and I know where I come from in Leeds, back in, up until the, like, say, 1930s or 40s, they buried on Second Day Yom Tov. But then as the Jews moved further away from the cemeteries, so people would just get in the car and drive. So it was obviously Zilzel of Yom Tov, and it prohibited on Yom Tov, so then they banned it. But back in the day, when people just had to walk, then they did bury it. So my Megulim is another example. Another classic, which is more controversial, top of the page here in number 17, Tama de mayim achronim. Why do we wash mayim achronim after a meal? Having mishum melach sedaimis, it's because of a special Dead Sea salt. Kedama besamach. It says explicitly in the Gemara. The anu, and we today, says Tosfos lefishein melach sedaimis matzu beinenu. We don't have this salt, whatever it was from the Dead Sea. They're living in France. Loi nagu mayim achronim. We don't keep mayim achronim anymore. This, by the way, was more controversial because the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't pass like Tosfos. He passes like the Rambam, who says Maim Acharonim Hova, which is, people often say that at a meal, okay, which is very much the Svardi Psak. And then he brings the Yesh Oimrim. There are people who say like Tosfos, but even the Ashkenazi Achronim find it hard to accept that Tosfos really meant that you don't do Maim Acharonim, and therefore that's, many people do Maim Acharonim. The difference is Svardim is a Chiyuv to do Maim Acharonim. And therefore the women and the men do it. There's no reason why women should have cleaner fingers than men, unless you say they have better manners when they eat, that could be. But the Ashkenazim ultimately paskin like Tosfos, it's a minhag. And therefore you find some people do, some people don't, men do, women don't, etc. So Tosfos are well known for having this somewhat radical position, but not always. I brought you in 18, I'm not going to read it now to save some time, but on Erev Pesach there is a halacha not to work in the afternoon. In the morning, it depended on the place. So in the afternoon, Tosfos says, because of Korban Pesach. People have to be free to go to do Korban Pesach. Ah, what about today when there is no Korban Pesach? Still, says Tosfos, there's still an obligation not to work like a Chol HaMoed on Erev Pesach. So you see, there are cases yes, there are cases no, etc. Okay? So let's go on, because we've got a lot to do. So dancing, says Tosfos, is fine today. But almost no poskim follow Tosfos' Pesach. And we'll see how that works in a minute. You mentioned before there is an exception on Simchas Torah. This is a very ancient one. This goes well before Tosfos. I brought here a tshuva of the Maharik, the Maharik Kolon from 15th century France, who was asked about selling the aliyahs on Simchas Torah. Is this okay or not? Very ancient minhag. And he brings down that from Rav Hai Gaon from the Gaonim Paskin, that dancing is muta on Simchas Torah as covered HaTorah. Even though it's a rabbinic prohibition under normal circumstances, because of covered HaTorah, which some people understand means covered Sefer Torah, yeah, there's the Sifrei Torah there, it's a special heter to dance. And therefore he says, even more so, selling the aliyahs is fine, because dancing is a bona fide prohibition, which they released. Selling the aliyahs is not at all also anyway, and therefore it's definitely fine. But you see, there was an ancient minhag all the way from Rav Hai Gaon that they would dance and sing and celebrate and clap on Simchas Torah specifically. Now, a little bit of history here. Simchas Torah only evolved in the time of the Gaonim, if you think about it. Shmini Atzeret, which is the eighth day of the Chag, was there from the Torah. But what do you do on second day Shmini Atzeret? Not a lot to do, really. At the end of the Chag, the ninth day of the Chag, as it were, so they became a minhag there. They finished the Sefer Torah every year on Simchas Torah, because according to the Gemara, that's not what you do on the second day Yom Tov of Simchas Torah. There are other minhagim which were scrapped in most places, that they started laying the Torah every year. In Israel, of course, they laid the Torah every 3 years, not every year, because they didn't have Simchas Torah in Israel, because there was no last day, second day Yom Tov. But in Babel, where they had another day of Yom Tov, and they say, well, what are we going to do? So they initiated all these minhagim, which of course are very appropriate, because Ahavat HaTorah is very much part of Ahavat Hashem, and the Simcha of the Chag, and all of that. So Rav Hai says, on this day, we can sing and dance. The question is, can you extend it? Let's have a look now. In the last 11, 12 minutes of the Shir, that clock gets a little faster every week, by the way. My watch says it's 11:01. So we'll be able to get through and look at what we're doing now. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So let's have a look here. The Shulchan Aruch is very clear for the Sfaradim, but not so clear for the Ashkenazim. Number 20. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Eimatabkin lahakot kaf al kaf. You can't clap with your hands. V'loy mesabkim lahakot kafal yerech. You can't clap, slap your thighs. V'loy meraktim, and you cannot dance. Gezeira shema itakin klishir. So, it's a straight halacha. You can't do it. And we'll see the Sfaradi poskim follow this halacha. No heterim. Says the Ramah, Hagah. The ha, the mesabkim meraktim ha'idna. Now that we see the people do dance around and clap. V'loy machinam b'hu, and no one criticizes them. Mishum de mutav shiyu shogigin v'chuli. It's because it's better for them to do it by accident, as it were, shogigin, without knowing, than do it on purpose. So according to that position of the Ramah, is it okay or is it not okay? It's not okay, but we're just not going to tell people off. V'yesh oimrim, and there's another opinion, says the Ramah, de bizman azeh hakol shari. Today everything is fine anyway. De'ein anu bekim ba'asiyat klishir. Because we don't know how to make the klishir. V'leikele migzah shem yitakin klishir. And we wouldn't have this gezeira. And he adds something in here. De milta de loy shchiyachu. Because it's extremely unlikely. Ve'efshe sha'alzeh nagu l'hakel b'chol. And that's maybe why people dance and clap. Now, according to the Ashkenazim, can you dance or can't you dance? So according to the first view of the Ramah, you can't. You're not meant to. Ah, we don't stop people because they won't listen. According to the second view, Tosfos, it's fine. So which one does he really follow? So Rav Avadya Yosef, who of course passes anyway, like the Machaba, like the Rav Yosef Karo, that it's Osa, says, look, we have a rule. The Shach says that when the Ramah brings two opinions, a Stam opinion, and then a Yeshom Rim, we follow the first one. And therefore, he says, even the Ashkenazim shouldn't be dancing on Shabbos. Because the Ramah basically says, it's us, it's just that we don't give people rebuke, and we don't stop them because they won't listen. But you can't ignore the fact that he does say, V'yesham rim, he does give some opening for Tosfos' opinion. And therefore, if you look at the next couple of pages, what I've brought you here is the following. The Sfaradi psak is clear. You can't dance on Shabbos. The Rav Avadya says, if you see a Sfaradi man dancing on Shabbos, you should politely tell him, please stop dancing. Because you're not meant to dance on Shabbos. Everybody agrees, he says, on Simchas Torah, it's fine. Which, by the way, is actually quite interesting, because back in the day when Rav Hai Gon said you can dance on Simchas Torah, that was second day Yom Tov. And it could never fall on Shabbos. Because according to the fixed calendar, Simchas Torah, second day Yom Tov, can never fall on Shabbos. Whereas today, in Israel, number one, Simchas Torah is first day Yom Tov, not second day Yom Tov, which might make a difference. And it can fall on Shabbos. So it's all very well saying we rely on Rav Hai Gon, but Rav Hai Gon never said it in Eretz Yisrael when it could fall even on Shabbos. But okay, people are still lenient for that as well. So the Sfaradim say, no dancing, no clapping, clap with the back of your hand, and that's all you can do. The Ashkenazim basically are pretty machmir originally. I brought you, for example, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. I didn't bring you it as a source, but the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. So if you think the Chabadnikim like dancing and singing on Shabbos, which today they do, and by the way, Rav Schneerson, the last Lubavitcher Rebbe, was very into dancing on Shabbos, but the first Lubavitcher Rebbe was not. He basically paskens that you're not allowed to do it, you just don't give people rebuke. And most Ashkenazi poskim say, look, that Tosfos is a little bit questionable. It's very radical to say that today you don't have a rabbinic law just because the reason fell away. But at the end of the day, many of the Ashkenazi poskim say that it's there. And you can rely. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, which says that, look, it's better to be machmir, but at the end of the day, you can rely on the Tosfos' view, which is brought in the Ramah, that you're allowed to dance and sing on Shabbos. And he says he's met many God-fearing Jews who dance and sing on Shabbos based on that Ramah. Certainly, if you're an Ashkenazi, you can clap with the shinui. What about banging on the table? What about banging on the table? So, interestingly, Rav Eliezer Melamed from Har Bracha says that dancing and singing now is quite accepted. We'll see what the leniencies are. But he says banging on the table is worse. Because banging on the table, you're actually playing the drums on the table. It's not just clapping in case somebody plays a musical instrument. It's playing a musical instrument. So he says maybe the one who's leading the Zmiris can get people in the mood because he's not playing an instrument, and you can bang on the shtender, you know, that's fine. But he doesn't like banging on the table, interestingly. He has an unusual heter. He says, but if you want to jump up and down when nobody else is singing, but just because you feel excited, that's fine. Which I think is a very interesting statement about life. Like when I was a kid, if you'd have seen people just jumping up and down with no music playing because they were happy to be alive, that would have been already grounds for calling up somebody and having them escorted away. But now, no, Baruch Hashem, now in Har Bracha, no doubt there are people jump up and down every now and then on Shabbos just because they're happy to be alive, which is great. No problem at all. There are five Ashkenazi leniences, which is why people dance on Shabbos. I'll go through them now. We won't learn all the sources, but there are five that I've been aware of. First of all, the Yamshel Shloma. I apologize, in number 22, the reference under the box is wrong. It's not Avodah Zarah. It is the Yamshel Shloma on Beitzer, Perek Hei Oisvav. And he says, look, it's not really right, but for a mitzvah, combining the idea that you're doing it for a mitzvah, and there's always that view of Tosfos, which is okay, a little bit like radical, but once you put the two together, that's okay. So the Yamshel Shloma basically says, if you're doing it for a mitzvah, then this is permitted. What is a mitzvah? Okay, so Simchas Yontov is definitely a mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah of Simchas Shabbos? That's already a big debate. There's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And covered Shabbos, but that's not the same. There are many sources I brought you in the footnotes which do indicate that there may also be a mitzvah of Simchat Shabbat, in which case that might be extended as well. The Mishnah Berurah passes this way, that if you're clapping and dancing and singing for a bona fide mitzvah, then that's okay. Although, it's hard to exactly, you know, make the correct boundaries here, because he says, but for a chosan and kala, that doesn't count. At a Shabbat Chatan, at an Ufruf, you can't dance and sing and clap. No, you can't. You can't. He says, that's not called enough of a mitzvah. And he says very clearly, people who dance on Shabbos, Sheva Brochas, etc., it's not allowed. So it's interesting, what is and what isn't a mitzvah for the Mishnah Berurah? Bar mitzvah, for sure, he would say, is not. I mean, if you can't dance for a wedding, is there a bar mitzvah? Sure. However, you should just know that many Ashkenazi poskim say that for an aufruf, for a Shabbat Sheva Brochas, for a Shabbat Chatan, I brought you here in the footnotes, Rav Shlomo Zalman, another of others, say, yes, it's fine. That's enough of a mitzvah. So that's one heter of dancing and clapping. And that's also the Shemir Shabbos says the same thing. Fine. A second heter is based on the Hasidim. The Munkat Sherebi. Normally, when we quote the Munkat Sherebi, usually, unfortunately, we quote him as saying, no, you can't do that. Okay? Here, he says, yes, you can do that. He was challenged. He says, why do the Hasidim all dance and dance and dance and dance? So he says, listen, it's an extension of the Heta of Simchas Torah. It's a mitzvah. It's a simcha. It's a mitzvah itself. To dance any Shabbos and any Yontov, because, you know, that's part of the mitzvah of Shabbos. That's why we dance all the time. So they challenged him and said, yeah, but 1 second, how can you say that? In the Mishnah itself, when it lists these things are mitzvah, these things are reshus, dancing is not listed in the mitzvah section. So what are you going to say to that? So he said, that's because some people feel the simcha of dancing, and some people are just miserable, and they don't even enjoy dancing. Says if you're basically a cold litvak and dancing for you is a tircha, says that's the Mishnah was talking about you. But if you're a heisa chosid and you have that inside you, the Mishnah was never talking to you. It was very interesting. Rav Avadya, by the way, quotes this reason. He says, like, really? No, that's not. He doesn't accept this reason at all. You can't touch up the Mishnah in this way. The Oruch HaShulchan, which I'll leave you to read on your own in 24. He is very upset with Tosfos. He says, well, we just cancel a rabbinic mitzvah because we don't tune instruments anymore. And he says, and anyway, we do tune instruments today. Everybody tunes instruments today. And even the Simchat Torah Heta of Rav Haigon, he says, really? Just because of Kavod HaTorah, you can suddenly break rabbinic mitzvahs? Mazah. He says, no, it's nothing to do with that. And he brings a whole analysis about how what we call dancing is Nebuch. He says it has no Seder, it doesn't follow the rhythm, we don't know what we're doing, we're all over the place. And he says what they were talking about in the time of the Mishnah was much more like the thigh slapping, you know, whatever that I was talking about at the beginning. It was very organized, like square dancing maybe or something. You know, even back in the day when I, you know, weddings, people used to do something, like, you know when they used to do like Yesh Lanu Tayesh, and they're in and out and in and out. No, the kids, they just kind of just go like this at weddings. There's no seder to anything. You just go to a wedding, the band's playing one tune, the guys are dancing down the chasm singing a completely different tune, or the same tune in the wrong key, in the wrong time. Like, Says Zeruch HaShulchan, what we do today is as Nebuch, and that was never envisaged by Chazal. There's a Maisa, Rav Avinair brings of Rav Moshe Feinstein, where there was a bocha, got married, quite an older bocha, and it was a big simcha, and everyone's dancing on Shabbos, and Rav Moshe started dancing with them. So somebody dancing behind Rav Moshe says, how can you be dancing on Shabbos when it says you can't dance? So he turned around and says, you call this dancing? It's like, I once asked Rav Berkowitz, you know, is there a heter to listen to classical music during the Sfira when, you know, maybe they didn't mean that kind of music? So he said, I don't understand. Any other kind of music you'd even call that music? This is the only music that you could call music even. And therefore, if anything's also, this must be also. Well, anyway. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, that's not the same kind of dancing. Again, Rav Avadia quotes this, and he says, Divrei Nevi'ut. This is prophecy. How on earth does he know? He just made this up. He just said that we dance today a different kind of dancing. I don't get it. I don't buy it, he says. And the last two leniencies, Rav Henkin brings an unusual leniency. It sounds from, there's a Gemara there in Shabbos, that one of the problems of stamping your feet is it makes noise. The Gemara talks about merakade as something you can't do to scare away the crows, because you're making stamping noises. So he says, maybe if you dance in a light-footed way, where there's no noise when you're stamping your feet, maybe that's one of the heterim. Okay, maybe yes, maybe no, whatever. And lastly, the Eish Lavram brings down that mostly people dance on Friday night. And there's a heter because it's Bein HaShmoshes. And Bein HaShmoshes, there are special heterim that you're allowed to be more lenient in certain rabbinic mitzvahs during Bein HaShmoshes, of course, Shulchan Aruch, and maybe that's what we do. Are you going to say Bein HaShmoshes only lasts for a... No, if you're a chassid and you follow Rabbeinu Tam, Bein HaShmoshes lasts a whole hour. We talked about this in another shir, and maybe that's your heter as well. So I'm not going to tell you what you should and shouldn't do on Shabbos. Certainly, if you have any chassidish blood inside you, the Munkacher Rebbe is behind you all the way. But at the end of the day, if you're a Sephardi, even an excited, hot-blooded one, but nevertheless on Shabbos you can't dance, and if you're a Litvak, then maybe you can just shuffle around the back with the other miserable people, or maybe you could just stand at the side and tuts and say, why is everybody breaking Shabbos? Yes?
Nobody has the instruments on Shabbos.
Nobody has it? Well, that's... In the world we live in, it's not so far-fetched. People say, someone's got a guitar, they schlep out a guitar. By the way, in Germany in the 19th century... Rav Hildesheimer, he had to oppose people who were using this as a heter to play instruments on Shabbos, which he never was. That's just Amaraxis. But he had to, and then of course there's the mixed dancing, which is not a joke here. It may lead to mixed dancing. It really may lead to mixed dancing. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down in great length the problems of mixed dancing, which you need to avoid, especially on Yom Tov, when people are a little bit light-hearted anyway. Anyway, add can dancing and clapping. But Ezrat Hashem, we will reconvene 5 weeks from today and talk about some other inyanim.